If you haven't tried Super Beats Soft Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Soft Chews combines non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Super Beats Soft Chews promote heart-healthy energy the way nature intended, without caffeine or stimulants. Just take 2 delicious Super Beats Soft Chews a day, anytime, anywhere. You won't find blood pressure and energy support that tastes this good anywhere else. And now with your first purchase at danasbeats.com, you can get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Chews, plus a free 30-day supply of vitamin D3 Chews for immune health support. That's a 30-day supply of both Super Beats Chews and vitamin D3 Chews for free. Act now and also get 2 free bonus gifts valued at over $50. Only available at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Number one, Republicans need to show up and vote for Senator Perdue and Loeffler. If we don't get 52 Republicans in the Senate, the Democrats are going to change our country to the point you won't recognize it. So help where you can. If you want to give money to Georgia, go on the internet and look up their websites, or give money to lindseygraham.com, and I will send it all down to Georgia. So the radical agenda that they're proposing for our country can only be stopped if we get Georgia right. We got to win in Georgia.
Well, there you have it. That's Lindsey Graham, who's like stating the obvious there. We have to win in Georgia. I'm not quite sure why that's controversial. So I'm just going to welcome to the show. It's good to be with you guys today. And 2 things. I have a lot of information for you on a couple of different issues. And the second thing is, we got to have a heart-to-heart with some of these people out here who are telling folks to not vote. And it's going to probably be an uncomfortable conversation. And some of you are probably going to get real mad at me. One, and I'm going to read it on air, one guy already sent me hate mail. And I thought it was pretty innocuous what I said. You know? I mean, I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass. I mean, if you want to be lied to about stuff and you want just to be, you know, only for me to validate you, then maybe MSNBC or CNN, and I'm talking mostly about the drive-bys who haven't been with me through thick and thin. But I'm just, I don't know if it's just 2020 or, and because I'm already suspicious of things. I'm anti-authoritarian and I trust almost literally no one. I don't even fully know if I trust my dog. You know? I mean, he's cute and all, but if he could kill me in my sleep, would he? It's one of those things. And so, I don't know if it's just a combination of my already existing mega cynicism, coupled with the fact that we have voter fraud every election, and this election, it was particularly egregious because of the mail-in ballots that Democrats insisted upon having, and now they're upset because it's hard to verify them. So they, it's hurt and rescue. They created their problem. And so in looking at all of this, I want to feel as though we are looking at every single aspect of this story. Anytime we're going to talk about Georgia, anytime we're going to talk about the election or voter fraud or anything, I want to look at every single aspect. And I also come at things, and not everyone does, and kudos to you if you're fortunate enough in life to never have been burned so often that you don't have to approach things like this. But I don't trust people until they earn it. I don't. I don't trust anybody until I have physically in person met them. And I have gotten to know them a little bit. Not kidding. And that's why, I mean, I don't trust a lot of politicians because I haven't, well, they're politicians, and also because I haven't met them. So keep all of that in perspective as I get into this. So this is how, a couple of things here. The president did a video last night. Did you guys, who watched the video? Did you watch? I didn't watch the whole thing. Simply because I worked relatively late last night, watching a couple of other issues, but It's stuff that we already know because we've been following the headlines. So he was giving a rundown of where everything stood and calling out the irregularities, etc. And 45 minutes, and of course the media reacted the way that they did. And I understand these are this is serious allegations when you talk about voter fraud. And there's enough evidence of irregularities and ballot issues with states not requiring matched signatures, etc., that it really does. There's genuine question. And I'll say this again. All the people who scream for mail-in ballots, you forfeited your right to bitch about our suspicions and delay in certification because it is difficult to validate them. You created that problem. You take the L on it. So, serious issues. But at the same time, I think some people are going too far. And I'm going to be incredibly forthright about it. Even going against the president. So we're going to talk about that. I also have to play this soundbite from one of my favorite people to ever issue soundbites on God's green earth. The walking treasure that is the diamond of Louisiana. I am not even saying this in any facetious manner. I would fight somebody to sit next to him at a dinner, and I hate politicians. Because you know it's going to be something fascinating that comes out of his mouth. And I just want to write them down and collect them. This is Senator Kennedy from the great state of Louisiana who is talking about the election. Listen.
Unless you have the IQ of a root vegetable, you know how important this election is. It is a second presidential election. Why do you think President Obama and Mr. Biden are going to Georgia to campaign? They're going to treat this as a second referendum on President Trump and his accomplishments.
Yeah.
Furthermore, if we lose in Georgia, Senator Schumer, Senator Bernie Sanders, Speaker Pelosi, Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez are in charge.
Yep, he's right. He's absolutely right. Unless you have the IQ of a root vegetable.
Are root vegetables dumber than regular vegetables?
I don't know. Yeah. That's actually a really great question.
It would seem like it's the case.
And does nightshade factor into that? And I only learned what nightshade was like a year ago.
I don't know what nightshade is.
I'm not going to Google it. This is what happens when I don't Google.
I will Google it.
Is it just vegetables that are like purple? No, I don't know. I don't even know.
Who knows?
Oh my gosh. I'm just saying, I don't pay attention to that stuff. It sounds like a wives' tale. It sounds like something my mom would send me along with a new farmer's almanac.
It seems as though of all the vegetables, the root vegetable will be the least intelligent.
I just sidebar for a moment? And I'm not mocking it. I just don't understand the whole, there's always an exception to every rule, but it's always something crazy like, well, you know, the corn's knees are dotted this season, so it's going to be a lot of frost early on. I'm just saying, that's kind of like how it is. My mom would always be like, did you get your farmer's almanac?
It's true with those persimmon seeds.
Okay, she knows all this, yeah, and I don't.
That's true.
This is like, look, my family's from the Ozarks, and my grandpa was a farmer, and so they lived by these rules. I mean, forget your meteorologist, they don't know nothing. They go by, well, is it in the farmer's almanac? I have no idea how we got root vegetables. Yeah. So to answer your question, I don't know.
I think they're the least intelligent of all the vegetables.
Yeah. I think sweet potatoes are pretty smart. I mean, they're delicious and they go well with marshmallows, and you have to be a smart vegetable to do that.
You make a good point.
And I will say, aren't beets a root vegetable?
That's
I think
true.
They are. Look at that. That would have been an amazing segue. So we're going to totally come back to that. I have this headline here for you, too, and I don't know what kind of WTF face to make on this. Here's the headline. Black leaders express concerns about representation in Biden administration. They're concerned, and there's a lot of dissent growing because lawmakers and activists, they say that he's only chosen two Black Americans so far to be in his cabinet. You mean, now, just hear me out here. You mean to tell me that the guy who championed segregation and segregationists, the guy who eulogized the head grand exalted centaur or whatever it is, centaurs are just like the man horses, right? Not the unicorn. Okay. They're not the goat things. Are the goat things?
I don't know.
I'm so confused about, you know, the magical animal husbandry that happens in the hate groups there. I don't know. So he eulogized the grand exalted centaur, Robert Byrd, the guy who just unceremoniously dropped the N-word during an interview with NBC's Matt Lauer. And if Matt Lauer wasn't obsessed with his, you know, secret locking door, his sex harassment locking door in his office, maybe he would have called him out on it. I'm pretty sure it was Matt Lauer. But you're telling me that this guy who did these things, who said that if you don't vote for me, then you, quote, ain't black, end quote. You're saying that he is not being inclusive? No. None of us saw this coming.
Shocker.
I mean, if only this had existed prior to the election.
Oh, it did.
I mean, we could have told you. Just saying. So he's starting to get a lot of criticism on this. And I don't know how they're going to handle it, but and remember, James Clyburn had vouched for him. The only reason that Joe Biden remains alive politically today is because James Clyburn, his fairy godfather, came down out of the ether and bippity boppity booed him back into the primary. That's what happened. He had already lost two primaries. He was rolling into SoCo, and Bernie Sanders, who looks like Doc's older brother from Back to the Future, he was winning again, and Democrats are like, how the hell does this keep happening? I mean, yes, we totally kowtow to socialists. We don't understand how one's winning our primary. And James Clyburn had to come out and save him, save his political life, drag him out of the depths, breathe new life into his career. It's the only reason this man is here. So I feel like there's a fight a brewing. Clyburn is, I mean, love him or hate him, he's a good strategist. So when he throws a punch, he's going to make sure that it's maximized for the biggest effect, you know? Also, the latest with the coronavirus. Remember when I was telling you, because they did a whole, there's like a brand new lockdown, and I want to go over some of the insanity of the new lockdown order. Apparently, you can't even leave your house to walk, but podcasting is considered a necessary thing. I don't know if the mayor, Mr. Garcetti, understands how podcasts work, but literally Section 5 of their new lockdown order, 4 and 5, they say that all travel, including without limitation, travel on foot, bicycle, scooter, motorcycle, automobile, public transit, is prohibited. People may lawfully leave their residences while this order is in effect only to engage in the following activities. And the essential activities are, like, if you're going, you know, to get, I guess, medicine, like healthcare operations, if you're going to get groceries, if you're a farmer or a fisherman, I guess, if, you know, social service provider. Oh, newspapers, the media, and film and television. They gave that carve out so Hollywood wouldn't bitch. Gas service stations, banks, hardware and building supply, plumber electricians, mailing and shipping services, educational, but they have to do distance learning, and laundromats, and retail storage. Yeah, storage for retails, and, you know, some ride sharing services, and some transport services, you know, and some animal shelters. So that's good news for Delta. And some child care facilities, provided that it's between the hours of 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. Because that's, you know, when people work, is between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. They just drop their kids off at the daycare center overnight, right? So we're going to do a little returnsy backsy to this because we've got some things to talk about. And we're going to get into some of the latest with Congress, all this stuff. So we have a lot coming. You don't want to miss a single bit of today's show. Travel around the holidays is always hard, and especially this year. It's incredibly difficult for a lot of people to get with loved ones. So I've gotten some of my flower friends at Bloomsy Box to announce their Bloomin' Cyber Monday sale. So right now, save 25% on spectacular Bloomsy Box flowers, like the ones I'm sending to some of my family for the holidays. 25% off. Bloomsy Box are better blooms. And picture the smile on that special someone's face when your holiday flowers arrive. It's kind of magical. Bloomsy Box are spectacular flowers, sustainably grown on family farms around the world. Your flower gift is hand-picked, arranged at the farm, and delivered straight to your door so they stay fresher longer. Their prices are already incredible, but with their Bloomin' Cyber Monday sale, you'll save an extra 25%. No hidden fees, no endless upsells. The sale ends soon, but you can get 25% off now if you hurry over to bloomsybox.com and enter Dana. That's promo code Dana for 25% off at bloomsybox.com.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So the CDC is recommending that those exposed to the coronavirus quarantine for 7 to 10 days, cutting in half their previous guidance, what was like 14 days previously. And they say those who test negative for the virus on the fifth day or later will be advised to stop quarantining after just 7 days. Some studies have suggested the median incubation period is 5 days, with 98% showing symptoms within 11 days. Basically, nobody knows what the hell's going on. So they're just saying, there you go. Apparently, the planets are going to align, and a rare Christmas star will appear in the sky this December, on December 21st, to be precise. Saturn and Jupiter will align into a beautiful, bright star, and it will be the first time they align like this since the Middle Ages. And it's going to provide an extraordinary amount of light. God's watching you, and he sees what you tweet. So just... UPS drivers are told not to pick up shipments from major retailers amid massive pandemic-fueled online shopping surge. Quit buying all the toilet paper. We have a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere. Santa's watching. If you haven't tried Super Beets soft chews, you're missing out. Super Beets soft chews combines non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beets soft chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Super Beets soft chews promote heart-healthy energy the way nature intended, without caffeine or stimulants. Just take 2 delicious Super Beets soft chews a day, anytime, anywhere. You won't find blood pressure and energy support that tastes this good anywhere else. And now with your first purchase at danasbeets.com, you can get a free 30-day supply of Super Beets chews, plus a free 30-day supply of vitamin D3 chews for immune health support. That's a 30-day supply of both Super Beets chews and vitamin D3 chews for free. Act now and also get 2 free bonus gifts valued at over $50. Only available at danasbeets.com. danasbeets.com. danasbeets.com.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
My message couldn't be simpler. It's time to hunker down. It's time to cancel everything. And if it isn't essential, don't do it. Don't meet up with others outside your household. Don't host a gathering, don't attend a gathering. And following our targeted safer at home order, if you're able to stay home, stay home.
What if you don't want to?
What if I'm not able?
Yeah, what if you're not able to stay home? Just saying, yeah. Me either. Welcome back to the show, I'm Dana Lash. That was the LA Mayor, Eric Garcetti. I am mystified. Did y'all read these really bizarro lockdown orders? He comes out and literally says, cancel everything. And then his surrogates are like, well, he didn't really mean like everything. He just meant like some of the things. That's no. Oh, hold up. No, that's not what. Not how that works. not how it works, because that's not what he said. There, I saw my friend Dave Rubin posted a video this morning of these signs outside of Kitson's in LA, that store. And it's like a, I don't know, like celebrities, I don't know what it is. They just like have all kinds of stuff there. It's kind of like an LA landmark. And there were all of these signs just going at Fauci. And it, I mean, it's a pretty, it was a pretty big deal to see that kind of stuff out there. They're mad. They're, I mean, they're criticizing him. They're criticizing these elected officials, these the Democrats that are shutting down, trying to shut down businesses and so on and so forth. These were huge signs. They were really big signs everywhere. It was kind of unbelievable to see. I'd never seen anything like that. Kitson's in Los Angeles, and they had like they had a sign of Garcetti, and they I mean, a number of oh, they had Hunter Biden up there, People of the Year, and then Kitson, and then it had it's kind of unbelievable. Well done. I might have to order from there, something from there. I don't know what, but I'll figure it out. The president is awarding Lou Holtz the Medal of Freedom right now, which is kind of ironic considering what we're discussing. Although he hasn't been for national lockdowns. Lou Holtz, it's pretty awesome to see. It's not often that you see that, and it's pretty cool to watch. The freedom, though, that, I mean, it's just, again, just to talk about the Medal of Freedom ceremony when we are also talking about massive lockdowns in certain cities. They had a lockdown previously in LA. We have friends that live in LA. They locked down everything previously, so why didn't that work? Because you're going to have a surge when you reopen everything. I mean, even the CDC is like, a lockdown's not going to work, guys. It's not going to work. It's not going to help you. These guidelines don't make any sense. I mean, it literally says you can't even leave your house to like just take a walk somewhere. Nature's closed. You can't. All public and private gatherings. Listen to this. This is, I'm reading from lamayor.org. I am reading from the official release. The targeted safe at home order. This is an actual sentence here. All public and private gatherings of any number of people from more than one household are prohibited, except for outdoor faith-based services or those participating in-person outdoor protests while maintaining a face covering and social distancing. And then they define what households are. That's not up for them to define. You don't get to tell people how many people they can have on their property. They say all travel, including without limitation, travel on foot, bicycle, scooter, motorcycle, automobile, public transit, prohibited. You can only leave to engage in a number of activities that they say are necessary. Of course, the education, that's all distance learning. And this is what really gets me. Where's this at? Because it's like a trillion pages. Child care facilities. Section. It's page 6 of 12. Child care facilities. All childcare facilities, including those operating at schools, must operate under these guidelines, must be carried out in stable groups of 12 or fewer. Children shall not change from one group to another. Groups cannot mix. Day camps must not operate between the hours of 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. because, you know, that's when people go to work and they drop their... That's so stupid. And then they get into places of worship, they say, that as long as it's outdoors. City parks and trails are open, but you got to do the social distancing. You have to wear your face mask. God, that's so stupid. Oh, my gosh. I mean, the beach, all the piers are closed. Beaches are open, but you have to follow the protocol, meaning don't go outside and enjoy nature without your face covering and stay away from people. I mean, I'm looking at this and it is so ridiculous. Every single thing. And of course, but you can do filming and catering and all that stuff. They're carving that out so Hollywood doesn't complain. Mm-hmm. It is. And
why would you need a caterer unless you have a gathering?
Just tell people you're making a film.
Just thinking out loud.
If you're like having people over your house and the, which I don't see them doing, but just say maybe they will. They'll send LAPD over. Just be like, no, we're filming something. We're filming. Set up a camera so that it's like Home Alone style, so it's visible in your like front window.
We're filming a podcast.
Yeah, yeah, we're filming the podcast. Oh, yeah, that's it. And then they want to determine who is or is not an essential business, which is not, government doesn't get to determine that. Everybody is essential. I've talked about this before, but can I just note really quickly the hypocrisy of declaring certain things essential? Don't sit here and act like your butt is saving anybody because you're staying home. If you are ordering food, if you are ordering anything online, anything, if you are still using your water and your electricity and everything else, then you are already making a statement that you are okay with a certain amount of risk, because people have to be places to do all of those things so you can pretend that you're Ralph from The Simpsons and that you're not risking anyone's life because you're, so you get to virtue signal to everyone else.
I'm helping.
I love how, would you think that the virus is like, oh no, wait a minute, I can't infect this person. This person is a truck driver. I can't infect this person. I mean, you're all these people, you're just stating that you're okay with a certain amount of risk. So don't spare us the vapid virtue signaling. Look at me, I'm staying home. I'm just going to do all my ordering online. I'm going to order my groceries online. Let's see, I'm just going to use a ton of electricity and just water my lawn. You're just making a statement that you're okay with all of it. Now, as for the penalty for this, they're saying, oh, if you don't comply, it'll constitute a misdemeanor. You could get fined. You could be imprisoned. I know what I'm going for Halloween next year. I know what my costume's going to be. This is related. You want to know what it is? A fist with the middle finger extended.
Nice.
I swear to you, I'm not even joking. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah, I wanted to touch on this story really quickly. The UPS drivers that are told not to pick up shipments from major retailers amid the pandemic-fueled holiday surge. So apparently, The Hill and Wall Street Journal say, the Wall Street Journal said that they got internal messages that they obtained, and they confirmed it. The company announced temporary shipping restrictions on retailers, which include, this is so funny, L.L. Bean, Hot Topic, and Newegg.
Essential.
Oh my gosh, there's so many jokes. Because, you know, there's a middle-aged goth person sitting at home going, oh my gosh, I need to order this shirt from Hot Topic. Even though we're on lockdown and I'm at home, I still have to be like troubled and all melancholy. I say this as a former goth kid. But LL Bean, really? So why are people ordering from them that much? That's kind of funny. The spokesperson from UPS told The Hill that if the demand exceeded the planned space that they'll work with, because they don't know where they're going to put stuff. Remember the headline I had for you, I guess, what was it, Monday or Tuesday? The site, in-person retail had just cratered, but online purchases, they couldn't handle them. They threw the roof. So this is one of the things when we're telling you to order your stuff early, or if you're doing that for Christmas, then you need to make sure you do it in plenty of time. Think of the people out there on the road that's driving your stuff, you know, keep them in mind too with that. So I don't know. It all amazes me. All amazes me. So the CDC tells Americans to cancel all holiday plans as hospitalizations reach a record 100,226. And Biden's telling us that, you know, hundreds of thousands are going to die. The Austin mayor told constituents to stay home from his timeshare in Mexico that he traveled to via private jet. Mm-hmm. Don't travel for Christmas, they said. You told us it was 15 days to flatten the curve. Now, you can't change that out now. With the way that they report on this, too, again, no mention of any kind of survivability rate at all. None. It is just assumed that contraction is fatality. That's the way it's presented. It's such a false narrative. Now, the vaccine card, I wanted to bring this up because I sent out a newsletter. Last week that talked about the potential for a vaccine mandate. So now the Immunization Action Coalition, vaccination cards will be issued to everyone getting the vaccine, say health officials. The Department of Defense released the first images of the coronavirus vaccination record card. They will be used as the simplest way to track the shots, says Dr. Kelly Moore, Associate Director of the Immunization Action Coalition. They say that everyone will be issued a written card that they can put in their wallet. It will tell them what they had and when their next dose is due. So they said it's going to be super simple and easy. Many places are planning to ask patients to voluntarily provide a cell phone number so that they can get a text message telling them when and where their next dose is scheduled to be administered.
Wait a minute.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Every dose administered is reported to the CDC. And that's, I don't know how, a database, I guess, and include a record of everyone immunized. Uh-huh.
If it's racist to require an ID to vote,
mm-hmm.
what is this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you having to prove and to who?
Mm. So they say that they're waiting for Pfizer and Moderna to have their emergency use authorizations. But, yeah, they said that they're going to be issuing these cards out. Mm. You can have your little card. Have your little card that you're going to take out. And then just make sure you give your phone number to the government. And they'll text you and be like, oh, my gosh, here's when you need to go and get your next dosage. Is there anything else that we can do for you? Can we chew your food for you and deposit it in your mouth like mother birds? Can we just go with you to the restroom and wipe your backside for you? Can we just help dig your grave? I mean, what else do you need? This is creepy. And you have Barack Obama and Bill Clinton and W now out there going, oh, we'll take it publicly. Why do I feel like I'm in like a Batman movie?
It feels like that,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's weird. Like I'm going to trust any of those dudes. I don't care what you do. Might as well put on clown makeup too while you're at it. Look, we're going to do this to make it feel better. That makes me not trust it even more. It has the opposite intended effect on me. I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys are going to make a big public spectacle of this? There's something to not trust. That's how my mind works.
Yeah. Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
I'm supporting Kelly Loeffler and Senator David Perdue as the best candidates for the U.S. Senate in Georgia and think it is vital to preserve our Senate majority. The idea of Joe Biden heisting the presidency and then pursuing an ultra-left agenda unchecked by Republican control of either house of the Congress is a nightmare.
Mm, that's Roger Stone.
Truth.
And he's speaking truth. Ooh, we're going to have a discussion coming up here. I've known Roger for a long time, and he's telling people, look, you can't give up on Georgia. It's just not something that you can do. You cannot just give up on Georgia. So we're going to have a big old conversation coming up about that. And I just wish I don't want, because there are some on our side who are mimicking some behavioral patterns of the left. There's no nuance. You can't have a discussion and people immediately stop listening two words in and will just rage. You either want to win or you don't. And anybody who's telling you to not fight for the Senate in Georgia, I am suspicious of that. I'm suspicious of it. And I will immediately question the motives of it. It does not make any sense at all whatsoever to adopt and side with progressives against, Trump for this. I asked a friend of mine, I said, so did Trump get kicked off his own Trump train? Because he's tweeted about this. He's going to be in Georgia apparently Saturday for a rally for David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. And for the people who have said, well, have they stood up for him? Well, number one, yes. And number two, unless you want to turn in your guns, pay higher taxes, and join Democrats in taking down America, at least the republic that we know, with freedoms and everything else, then, by all means. And I'm not, again, facts are facts. That is just the way it is. And if people are upset with me saying that, then I think they need to reevaluate their positions on some things. because anyone, I am for winning. Anyone who is not for winning is against me. Anyone who is not for winning is against the president. Anyone who is not for winning is against his son and all the surrogates out there and his administration, etc., etc. So if you leave him to stand alone in Georgia to fight for his legacy, you're not on the train, you're against it. We'll talk about that coming up. Don't go anywhere.
It's the Dana Show.
You're not going to fool Georgians again. If Kelly Loeffler wants your vote, if David Perdue wants your vote, they've got to earn it. They've got to demand publicly, repeatedly, consistently. Brian Kemp, call a special session of the Georgia legislature. And if they do not do it, if Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue do not do it, they have not earned your vote. Don't you give it to them. Why would you go back and vote in another rigged election? For God's sakes, fix it. You got to fix it before we'll do it again.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. That is Lynn Wood, who is one of the, he's on the president's legal team, and I'm kind of wondering, like, at what point, you know, because at this point now it's kind of contradicting what Trump is saying. Right. And we're going to break this down. We have to have a conversation about this. So like I said, it's good to be with you. We are almost at the end of the week. Welcome to the show. So let me lay out, I sent this newsletter out, and I'm just going to, let me set the table first, and then we'll jump into it. Number one, I don't know if it's, and I mentioned this earlier, I wrote about this last night, I don't know if it's because it's 2020 or my extreme cynicism and extreme anti-authoritarianism. And by anti-authoritarianism, by the way, I'm speaking of the state. I don't like government denying me my own personal agency and ability to govern my life the way I see fit. But I'm very cynical. I don't trust politicians. I don't trust a lot of things. I've always felt that fraud at some level exists every election. Whether it's enough to actually rock an election, I think that remains to be proven. It's not, and that is a separate statement from saying that there is widespread fraud. It is, the question is, how widespread is the fraud? And additionally, has it affected the election? That is the question. Now, I also do not like the machine voting. I think it should be good old-fashioned paper ballot. I've always felt that way. And in Georgia, so now their state legislature is, they're moving apparently on plans to require photo ID for ballots. And Democrats are yelling about, oh, it would be, you're disenfranchising people. Only in voting are you disenfranchising people, apparently, by asking for identification, not when purchasing liquor, cigarettes, renting a car, a hotel room, or doing any number of things that require daily presentation of a driver's license and or photo ID. Flying? No, only voting. Only voting. That's the only time that it's... And so that's, it's a bad argument. Now, there are, and I know this is something that, from what I've seen, both Loeffler and Perdue have spoken about this, but I also think that people need to realize that Loeffler and Perdue have to keep a laser focus on running and winning their races. If I were a Democrat, and I've weathered elections before and have worked and advised, you know, years before campaigns, if I were a Democrat, I'd try to pull them off message as much as possible. The surrogates need to do the fighting. That is a bad, and I'm going to be honest, and can I also preface this, because we live in the era where I have to pay an indulgence before I can share an opinion? You can disagree with someone and you can still hope that you're like-minded and same-sided. Do we believe this, or have we just acquiesced to the cancel culture and we now demand hive Borg mind from everything? Because if we're going to demand hive mind like the Borg from Star Trek, I'm out. I paid the cost to be the boss of my own opinion, and so did you. It's bad advice, and it is heinous strategy to pull them off message when you have a million surrogates that can do the job they're supposed to do and are doing by fighting those fights. I disagree with Lynn Wood here. I do not agree. I followed his logic down a lot of paths. He got his start actually representing Richard Jewell. He's from Macon. He got his start representing Richard Jewell. He worked with the Ramsey family, JonBenet Ramsey family. He represented the scuba diver dude who went after Elon Musk, and that case was not successful. And because it was proven that, you know, Musk didn't actually identify the guy. So when he called him a pedo, because the guy criticized Elon Musk for coming up with the capsule, whatever. So he's been around. I mean, he's got a very impressive resume. And he also defended defamed teenager Nick Sandman. And he's been contesting election results in states and counties where there's been irregularities and fraud. And like I said, I have followed his logic many places, but I stop at this. I stop at that. Because I don't see how handing the Senate to Chuck Schumer without a fight helps Trump. I don't see how handing the Senate to Chuck Schumer without a fight helps Republican voters who are concerned about election integrity. If you want to make sure that there is never election integrity, the surest way to do it is to do what he's talking about here and just basically giving the Senate to Democrats. Now, that said, I realize, because I feel the same way, people are hesitant to trust a system that allowed for irregularities and fraud and fraudulent ballots where signatures can't be matched. I get it. I've talked about it. Six ways to Sunday. I would be concerned too. I would be suspicious too. I mean, wouldn't a laser focused campaign to shift voting either to paper ballots or at the very least demand photo ID be the best path forward right now? Wouldn't focusing specifically on that be the best path forward? Now, audio soundbite 11, this was that, and I've never seen a lawyer do a rally. I mean, maybe I have, I don't know. This is Wood when he was talking about Brian Kemp. Listen.
Well, it's not playing.
Are you sure? Maybe, Steve, it's because you're not using your Mac.
Cut 11, Steve.
I want you to go to the governor's mansion. I want you to circle it. I want you to blow your horns until Brian Kemp comes out and orders a special session of the Georgia legislature. Get us our legislature and tell everybody we want our legislator to meet and we want him to fix the mess that he created. And then he can resign. And then, as far as I'm concerned, lock him up.
Now, I've talked about this before with Raffensperger and Kemp, how, you know, Texas, we have a huge state here in Texas, where I broadcast from, where I live in Dallas. And we didn't use the machines when Dominion they actually pitched it. I spoke with the lieutenant governor about this whole issue, Dan Patrick. It's up on my YouTube channel. And he said that those machines weren't working right off the bat. They didn't want nothing to do with those. That's a genuine point to make. How is it that other states that are even bigger than Georgia were able to get their elections done and everything counted and signed, sealed, delivered that night? And they weren't. That's a legitimate complaint. Pursue it. Keep it separate from the runoff. You have to divide and conquer. This is Sun Tzu 101. And it's not just me saying this. Trump is saying it too. Tweeting it. Repeatedly telling people to get out, to vote, to participate in the elections in Georgia. In fact, he tweeted this, quote, "We'll be going to Georgia for a big Trump rally in support of our two great Republican senators, David and Kelly. They are fantastic people who love their country and love their state. We must work hard and be sure that they win." Donald Trump Jr. has been tweeting about this nonstop, criticizing people, telling everybody to stay home and not vote. He even was gone so far to create a PAC, and they're spending a lot of time in Georgia. His PAC is focusing on ad buys in Georgia. Now, this advice, I disagree with it. And I also disagree with some of my friends on the right who characterize it as an attack. I saw, and it's a friend of mine, I have nothing bad to say about this person. You can disagree with people, y'all. I mean, you disagree with your families, right? Does that make you want to leave your family? No, it doesn't. Everybody needs to calm down. A friend of mine on their website was saying, oh, Lynn Wood is under attack. Well, I don't think people are attacking him so much as people are raising questions. And you can criticize someone's position and that not be an attack. What was it Voltaire said? Let me never make the offense of thinking I am being persecuted when I am merely disagreed with. It's an abridgment, but you get the idea. And I brought this up, and I wrote about this. I said, maybe 2020 and all this voter irregularity and fraud has made me paranoid. And I legitimately asked this question because everything should be on the table. It is not an attack. It is an observation. And if we can't be honest about that, then what's the point of any of this? Turn in your guns, shut down the lights, let's all go home. Lockdown forever, it's done. Candace Brose is the communications director and chief executive for Georgia's Governor Brian Kemp. So I don't know if it was Kemp's, I mean, this voting stuff is public record and not a lot of effort is required for it to find it. There are a couple of media outlets that had said that they had confirmed it. Now, what they found is that Wood's voter record from the state voter registration system showed that he had been voting Democrat for years and years and years. And he's donated to some Republicans, but he's donated to a lot of Democrats. I think even in the Abrams primary as well, I think he was Democrat voter. Now, here's the thing, though. Is he a recently reformed Democrat? And the reason I bring this up is because it wouldn't be unusual. What if I told you? Who told you this first, and how long have I told you this? It was me. That Trump created a bigger tent because he peeled off Democrat voters. So that's why I ask this. Is he a recently reformed Democrat? Because it wouldn't be unusual. Trump created a big tent because he peeled away Democrats from the Clintons because he was talking about jobs and trade and immigration, et cetera, et cetera. So this, and he was successful because Democrats were obsessed over pronouns while he was talking the economy. Now, the reason I bring this up is because is that applicable to Wood also? Not everybody came out of the womb Alex P. Keaton, okay? Yours truly included. Yeah, there are a lot of people, and some of your biggest apologists for the conservative movement did not come out of the womb wearing Reagan shirts. Not everyone was born a pristine conservative or raised by pristine conservatives to become a pristine conservative. So I'm not making that an issue. But what I'm looking at is I feel that election integrity is important enough to merit very careful examination of every single aspect of this ongoing story. And in your search for truth and justice, I would assume that you agree with that. Now, I will say that there were a lot of people on social media, and again, I bring up that Trump, you know, was able to peel off a lot of Democrat voters. They were saying, oh, there's a lot of former Democrats that were on that stage telling people not to vote in that runoff. Vernon Jones was not one of them, I would like to point out. Representative Vernon Jones, he has been fiercely consistent throughout. That man stood on a stage and was contradicting everybody, saying, no, you will come out and vote. It's impressive. like I said, I agree with Donald Trump Jr. He tweeted, I'm seeing a lot of talk from people that are supposed to be on our side telling GOP voters not to go out and vote for Loeffler and Perdue. This is nonsense. Ignore those people. We need all caps lock of our people coming out to vote for Kelly and David. Now, remember, I told you the biggest threat to Republicans in Georgia isn't Democrats, it's Republicans. It's walking away from the final fight. If you supported his previous 4 years, you're going to support this. Trump isn't giving up on Georgia, so I ask, why should anybody else? Are people going to leave him to defend his legacy alone in Georgia? Because if Joe Biden gets seated, and whether or not the Senate remains under Republican control matters little to him beyond legacy, he's not doing this for himself, he's doing this for you. I'll quote Thomas Paine. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will in this crisis shrink from their service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. This November, we must take a stand. Now is the time to stand for what you believe in, for what makes America great, and for truth and freedom. With Patriot Mobile, you can take that stand with America's only Christian conservative wireless company. From now until November 7th, switch to Patriot Mobile with their Stand Up for Freedom promotion. Get a free Samsung A11 phone with 2-year commitment, free premier activation, and a free gift. Patriot Mobile takes a stand with a portion of every dollar going to support organizations that simply support the Constitution and your values. At 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for a free Samsung A11 phone, free premier activation, and a free gift. Or get a free month of service and $45 off any phone in stock. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Stand up for freedom now with Patriot Mobile. That's 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, our plans, your freedom.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I went long last segment, but it was worth it. The, Hong Kong pro-democracy media tycoon Jimmy Lai was remanded into custody on fraud. Beijing's going after anybody who is even remotely helpful to the Hong Kong resistance. Emotional support pets are no longer allowed in the cabin on flights. You have to have a strictly emotional support pet. You can't bring your pig. You can't bring your other pet that you're faking is an emotional. You can't bring your mini horse or whatever the hell you bring. They're saying that the Department of Transportation changed those rules. Uber is reportedly in talks to sell a flying taxi. Like, I have a division and sell rides on planes, like a flying taxi. We got a lot more coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I hear all this about, well, it's a great sacrifice of my freedom. Well, tell that to all the people who went to World War I and gave their lives, and World War II and the Korean War. And tell, I mean, come on.
What the hell?
You're helping other people. It's not you. It's other people.
Oh, my gosh.
Other people.
Wait, so... welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, and it's good to be with you. Can... What? Wait, are you... My mind is now pretzel. What?
I got a little headache. I mean, the fight for freedom is somehow the same as not exercising freedom?
Yeah?
I don't see. I don't see the
that does not make any sense. No sense. If they're complaining about restrictions on their freedoms from governments that are overreaching, tell that to the people who fought in World War I. So are you comparing those governments that are overreaching their authority, that are you comparing them to Nazis? Because that almost sounds like you're doing that. That's like a prepared soundbite that he used at the wrong time.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that's the other go-to. Can I? I'm sorry. Can I hear just the very big, very beginning of that once more? Once more with.
You know, I hear all this about, well, it's a great sacrifice of my freedom.
Mm-hmm,
well, tell that to all the people who went to World War One and gave their lives, and World War Two, and the
so you're saying
War.
That compulsory military service is a sacrifice of freedom because it was Chuck Schumer that had a draft waiting in committee for years, just like 15 years ago. So I'm just curious, is that where you're going with this? That no matter which way you slice it, it is a rhetorical cluster blank for Biden. Whew. Maybe he, you know what? Don't snort your own stash. That's the whole thing.
Good just advice.
Or Hunter's, really. You know. All right. Oh, get mad. Welcome back to the show. Make sure you subscribe to the newsletter also. I we were talking a little bit before we were going to break, and I got to touch on it one more time, or at least on some of this, because you know, telling people to not go and vote is having, well, Republicans are their own worst enemy in Georgia, and case in point, there's some polling, and you have to be careful. Paper ballots, go to paper ballots. And yes, they're going to try to cheat. Just assume it. And fight on anyway. I mean, what the response is really going to be? Oh, well, they're going to cheat. So guess I'm just not going to do anything. Just going to leave Trump standing there alone in the wind in Georgia. Now, he said this. I also do get the impression, too, that people have kicked Trump off his own actual Trump train. Because people have been saying, I mean, I'm just like, I'm asking this genuinely because there are people who say that have been attacking those who are telling you to go and fight on anyway in Georgia, because you still, statistically, Georgia runoffs never go for Democrats. And yes, they're going to try to cheat. Does that mean you shouldn't fight like hell anyway? So you're just going to give it to them? You know how many times Republicans lose stuff for that? I mean, I don't understand that. I really genuinely don't understand that thinking. I don't. The president has said he's going to be going and rallying. And my friend Kurt Schlichter, by the way, who has been there on the ground in Nevada and elsewhere contesting the irregularities that, especially Nevada, that took place. I like what he said. He goes, oh, so we'll just wave the magic wand and get you the result you want. So simple. And when the magic doesn't happen, we'll just give the Democrats the Senate, because that will result in a more conservative America. Yeah. And he said, quote, I want Trump to get a second term, and my plan for doing that is to not vote for the Georgia GOP senators and to ensure Trump is paralyzed by a Democrat Senate during said second term, because I'm an idiot, end quote. Y'all, God love them, some of those folks, tell you. But there is, I mean, there's the Georgia runoff poll shows Ossoff up 50-48. Warnock, 52-45. Do you know why? Because Republicans are getting baited into attending every damn fight to which they're invited. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I love a brawl. I was born for a storm. I love it. I find it invigorating. And I'm happy while doing it. I used to love, that's why I loved sports and I loved competition. Because I just loved it. There's just, there, I don't know how to describe it, whether it's, you know, running track and field or however. I always enjoyed it. And I, you know, maybe 10 years ago, I did attend every single fight to which I was invited. And then when, you know, you have kids, things change. And also, I wanted to make sure that every conflict that I was engaging was moving the ball down the field, getting me closer to my goal. Anything else is just a distraction. Republicans in Georgia are being baited six ways to Sunday, and people are taking it. Not all, but enough. I mean, I'm amazed at some of this. And I'm watching the Trump base splinter off into all these different groups. It's just kind of crazy to watch. This was always, too, this was my fear in going, and there's a difference between acknowledging voter fraud and irregularities and pushing to audit everything, and then going so hard that that actually takes the center stage over the actual runoff race. And yes, I completely agree with that there was fraud that occurred. I do not agree with not fighting anyway. I have never walked away from a battle politically. And I don't know why that would put anybody at odds. I mean, I'm watching people that I know that were aligned, and now they're facing off. Newt Gingrich says every Georgia conservative who cares about America must vote in the runoff. The don't vote strategy will cripple America, and it will. Ted Cruz says it too. And so how honest do you want me to be on a scale of 1 to 10?
11.
Because some people, I think, and again, not all, I have to pad everything I say with the indulgence of explaining it first, because nuance is dead and everything is stupid. And it makes me madder the more I have to do it. Like I said, I want to win, and anyone who doesn't want to win is not on my side. You're either in it to win or you're not. This isn't the time to sit here and count straws and all this other stuff. This is the time to get in there, get out the vote. Yes, they're going to try to cheat. You fight on anyway. They will always try to do something like that. They tried to do it in 2016. They tried to undermine a free and fair election in 2016. No one thought that the party that literally edited out emails from government agencies to try to incriminate a CIA operative and act like they were a Russian agent when literally they were an agent for the CIA against Russia? Hell yes, I expect them to cheat. And they expect you to cower. They expect you to run. They expect you to give up. You know why? Because the establishment GOP has done it for decades. And now some people out there who want to act hard-ass online and they want to act like they're hard-ass grassroots, they're going to do the same thing. And if you do, you've never been on a train. You've never been part of a movement. This is the time that tests the patriot. Victory, and when everything's kittens and sunshine, that's not the thing that does it, because it is easy to go along with it when it's all going your way, isn't it? It is easy. When it's easy, it's fun. When you're winning, and it's easy. No, this. Situations like these. Times like these. These are the times that define the patriot. These are the times that define who is in and who is out of a movement. These situations, like the one in Georgia, this is the situation that is going to test your mettle. And there are some people out there who are proudly and publicly saying that they don't got it. Those people are not on my side. They're not on your side. You either want to win or you don't. I don't give a hot damn about GOP leadership or who's going to be on what committee or anything else. Not at this point. You're on the interstate, leaving the Republic and heading to Socialistville. And this is your one final exit. This isn't exaggeration. It's not hyperbole. It is just simple truth. This is the last stand. This is it. Where are you? You have a president who is in the White House that wasn't supposed to be in the White House. Nobody planned for that to happen. You took the establishment and everybody else off guard. They were trying to undermine the election after because they weren't prepared for him to lead and they couldn't cheat enough before. Yes, you can say maybe Republicans should have been more ready. Maybe they should have done this. Maybe they should have done that. If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. I don't deal in hypotheticals. I deal with the cards I got. And you have a president that has been persecuted. He was already rich. He didn't go to D.C. to get rich. He was already rich. I mean, literally, the man's house is in gold, or his penthouse. He didn't need to do it. Everybody liked him. He was Mr. Popular before. Now everyone down to his grandkids will be affected forever. People who supported him. For crying out loud, there were people getting hit out in public because they were wearing a red hat. And after everything that happened in November, he doesn't have to go down there and suffer the attempted indignity that the Fourth Estate would like to perpetuate upon his character. He doesn't have to go down there and do anything. If Joe Biden is inaugurated in and is the president of the United States and we lose the Senate, he's rich enough to not ever be affected by it. He has blank you money. You don't. I don't. We don't. He's not doing this for him. He's doing it for you. So as I said, the decision is yours. I will make no bones about it. You either want to win or you don't. I don't give a damn what you think about Lynn Wood. I don't care what you think about Sidney Powell. I've said my piece on how I disagree. If we can still go forward and still be like-minded, great. If not, get going. I don't got time for that cancel culture progressive BS. I'm too focused on wanting to win. Are you? Everybody needs to do an inventory as to where their priorities are. You're either for the winning side or you're not. There's no gray area right now. Where are you at? Are you going to let Trump go down there and fight for you alone? Are you going to warm your hands by the fire of whatever victory he makes down there? His family's doing the pack. They're going down there and fighting. Republicans down there are fighting too. I just gave you the headline about the GOP and the Georgia State Legislature. Have the fight with Brian Kemp another day. Win the Senate first. Then you know what? I will personally pay for an octagon and everyone can go in and just slap fight the hell out of each other. I don't care. Win the runoff first. That is the only thing. Win it. Don't try. Win it.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh, man. This is not The Villages, by the way. This is St. Petersburg. I can't pronounce his last name. Kijek? Kishek? K-I-J-E-K. Paul Kitchek, 50 years old, was arrested. This Florida man, he was at a Florida bar at 4 a.m. He got drunk, went out, and punched a taxi driver in the face before dancing in the street where he screamed, quote, I'm Rick James. That's what he, like Dave Chappelle. Yeah, you can't be punching people in the face. He has the most asymmetrical face I've ever seen in my entire life. And you need to click on that link and look at his mugshot, Kane, because I cannot be looking at this alone. So he left a bar in St. Petersburg, it's Florida's West Coast. He was determined to drive to his home.
Oh boy.
Lit like a candle. He was determined to drive to his home. Police arrived on scene. They called a taxi for him. The guy got into the taxi, but then everything went cray because he punched the guy in the face as the car was taking off. So, and it happened literally right in front of the police who saw it. They were still there on the scene. So he was immediately arrested for battery, disorderly intoxication. He was released Sunday morning. He posted $600 bond. So I'm telling you, come on, man. This guy is not the hide and seek champ of the world. A Florida man tried to hide from a cop behind a van in Monroe County, Florida. He was speeding away from a deputy on a scooter. Justin Schmitz of Hollywood, Florida, he got charged with fleeing and eluding, but he tried to hide behind a van like a toddler would hide behind like a pole or something to try to hide. Well, they caught him, obviously. You can't hide. I'm just saying. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store, folks.
Well, I mean, I think we better get our facts straight. First of all, that's totally incorrect that I refuse to look at the data. I looked at all the data, and I have been saying for a considerable period of time that we should have as our default position getting the children back to school or keeping them in school. So there's
I have a question.
Yes, Dana?
So was that his position when Fauci said that opening the schools would get kids infected with the coronavirus on April 13th of this year, when he was criticizing Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who at the time had said that he wanted to get schools open as soon as possible, as reported by Politico?
That doesn't sound like his default position.
Oh, okay. So what about the April 12th of this year New York Times piece wherein Dr. Anthony Fauci had given his blessing to Mayor Bill de Blasio to shut entirely down the New York City public school system for the remainder of the year?
That doesn't sound like his default position.
Oh, wait a minute. I think I have a couple more receipts in here. Okay, what about May 12th of this year when Dr. Fauci said that coronavirus was dangerous to children, citing the Kawasaki syndrome as a potential outcome, and therefore schools cannot be opened fully because, quote, we don't know everything about the virus as reported by CNBC?
That also does not sound like his default position.
Oh goodness. That's well, weird. Yeah. What about when he and Trump were publicly disagreeing on May 14th of 2020? Washington Examiner quoted by saying that, quote, you're going to have bedlam already in the streets. When the president was saying you have to get it open, I totally disagree with him on this. When Fauci had said, I disagree with the president on reopening schools.
Wow, another instance of his default position really not being taken.
That's oh wow, weird. I am so confused. It is like that time when he said, don't wear masks, wear masks. Don't wear masks, wear masks. Masks, no, masks, yes.
The Rand Paul exchange.
No, yes, no, yes. Yes, no, yes, no. What?
When he had that exchange with Rand Paul recently, he also was talking about how it's dangerous for kids to go back. We shouldn't open up the schools right away.
Mm-hmm.
And he fought Rand Paul on it, on the floor.
Yeah, why would you do that? He survived an attack by a progressive neighbor. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Subscribe to the newsletter. You will want to. Just a little thingy about that. He's a doctor, right?
Yes.
Fauci. I mean, he's Dr. Fauci.
D-R period right before his name. That's exactly
that
right.
Is doctor
yes.
of medicine. And he's with NIAID, Institute of Infectious, National Institute, of, Health. Institute of, yeah. of, yeah. And he works with infectious diseases too. Yes. Yeah. So I am confused as to whether or not he knows that the internet exists. I mean, I'm not being hateful, but you can't say that was your default position when I'm literally reading quotes.
Maybe we misheard him or something, you think?
Did we mishear?
I don't know. You want to hear?
Was it a mishearing? Let's see if we mishear again. Go ahead.
And I have been saying for a considerable period of time that we should have as our default position getting the children back to school or keeping them in school. So.
Well, that's what he said. I thought you were going to play something where we misheard it. And
no, I mean, I thought we might have misheard him on his default position, but his default position is kids should have stayed in school. We should keep schools open. I didn't.
I am so confused about that because he literally called for nationwide school closures on March 12th, and he maintained that on April 12th and April 13th. And Jordan Satchel has a ton of receipts on this. May 12th, CNBC literally quoted him as saying that they need to keep the schools closed May 14th, June 30th. He literally testified on Capitol Hill saying that reopenings, he wasn't for it, that they, you know, you need to look at the dynamics of the outbreak, which is a direct verbatim quote, or in Pig Latin, verbatim ve. So I am that shrug emoji. Does that sound, it sounds like Dr. Flip-Flop to me. Just going to point that out. Okay, so a couple of other things. Wave James O'Keefe is going to be joining us later on to talk about the CNN phone callie. Mm-hmm. Remember when we got sassy pants yesterday discussing the USA Today claim? When they were saying that, literally remarking on a photo of Jen Psaki or Sakai? I like saying Sakai better. Right?
It's not right, though. So, it'd probably be Psaki.
It's just funner to say. Anyway, whatever. Just take the joy out of the remainder of this year.
Do the Kamala Harris thing and just say it however you want.
I mean, I would like that because I identify saying things how I want to. Right. Why not? That's how, I identify a stop sign as not being a stop sign. You can do that, right? Can you project identification on other things?
I think so.
Because if you can project and make other people adhere to your own reality, then surely you can do more. It's like magic, but not. It's like fake magic.
Solid logic. Mm-hmm.
I agree. It's Dr. Fauci logic. I mean, it's great. So, yeah, so earlier this week, USA Today was, they fact checked. Remember, we talked about this, the Jen Psaki Ushanko with a hammer and sickle, literally had a hammer and sickle on it that was literally given to her by a literal communist, literally in Russia, all used correctly. Just wanted to point that out. They did it again. Are you ready? Let's do this. So here is the claim. Several Democratic politicians are urging social distancing and issuing stay-at-home advisories while hosting or attending gatherings themselves. Our rating? Missing context.
What?
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, boy. Let's walk. Hold up. Let's walk into this funhouse together, shall we? This is, they said that there was a, they went after a Facebook post because this is what USA Today does now. Let's look on Facebook and see what groups are saying wrong think. Here's a group. It's called Occupy Democrats Logic. And they're reporting upon several instances of Democratic politicians not practicing what they preach. So they're going after Facebook group posts and Twitter. And they got mad at this one Facebook group that shared a Liz Wheeler tweet. Oh, my gosh. And they said that, well, there is some truth to claims of politicians hosting or attending gatherings. Newsom, Gavin Newsom, did, in fact, they write, attend a November 6th birthday party at a restaurant with a dozen friends, despite urging Californians to resist the temptation to socialize. Now, they could have stopped right there because that right there proves that it's true, right?
Right, sure.
But they didn't stop right there. You know why? Because it's 2020. Mm-hmm. They said that it's unclear whether the Associated Press reported it was unclear how the rule applied to restaurants. Oh, my gosh. And Newsom apologized for attending the dinner, calling it a bad mistake. And then they mentioned Lori Lightfoot. So their context was that it is true, but they apologized.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why do people hate the media again? Right. Why? Why do they think that the fourth press is kind of a joke? I'm not making any of this up. I'm reading it verbatim. You'll get it in the newsletter tonight. It's mostly finished, but I have to edit some things out because it's like 5,000 words. But it's mostly done. Yeah, you'll get this tonight. So they said that. This is how they finished it. You ready? While it's true some politicians have acted contrary to the social distancing and stay-at-home practices they're preaching, but Pelosi didn't end up hosting a giant reception. However, ultimately, it's not just some Democrat politicians flouting the coronavirus policies and guidance. Such behavior has been seen on both sides of the aisle. What? So, well, because some Republicans did it, the Democrats didn't. Because in our reality, you can't do this and then also have, if Republicans do it, then the Democrats can't. That's their that I'm not making this up. So they didn't fact check anything. They didn't debunk anything. They actually made your position stronger. But then they went and said, well, you know, it's, here's the difference. Here's what they're not acknowledging. The difference between Republicans and Democrats is it is Democrats that are putting down these orders. It's the Democrats that are demanding that people wear face masks and shut down their businesses and ruin their lives and have their kids depressed and not educated because everybody's at home and not everybody's able to even do the distance learning, et cetera, et cetera. It's Democrats that are mandating this while themselves not following these rules. See, it was a discussion of hypocrisy. And USA Today is like, well, both sides do it, so it needs context. But that wasn't the point. That wasn't the point on which context needed to be provided. You morons. USA Today. It's all about, I mean, that's propaganda is what it is. They are running spin. I think we just need to fact check USA Today every single time. And then you have Politico, who is basically like, the RNC is so dishonest, we don't really feel like we have to ask for any kind of comment. Mm-hmm. They will. They actually said Tim Alberta, who is a reporter with Politico, he informed the RNC of Politico's standards in an email because Ronna McDaniel said that Alberta had not reached out for comment. He published this like 7,000 some odd, you know, piece on the GOP's efforts in challenging Michigan election results. And it was called The Inside Story of Michigan's Fake Voter Fraud Scandal. And they mentioned Ronna McDaniel by name 18 times, but he didn't even have like the beans to reach out to her, right? So when she publicly said he did not reach out to us at all for comment before publishing this, he then said, well, that he has, quote, no obligation to reach out because he thinks that they are, quote, proven so dishonest and so untrustworthy. That's like the direct quote. That's not press. That's an activist. Repeal their Section 2. Well, they're not really. Yeah, they're not publishers. I'm like, just repeal everything for everybody. This is they're not a publisher. They are. It's just propaganda is all it is. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you wonder, people wonder why nobody trusts media. No. Yeah. There you. Oh, and then, oh, my gosh. Oh, I got a minute more. So my friends over at MRC Newsbusters, this is going to make me mad. They had this piece from the Washington Post, and they were going to do some, they said they were going to do some anthropological reporting from the hinterlands. And they said, you never know what kind of hair-raising stories they'll file about sky god worshippers in podunk hamlets over an hour's drive from decent artisanal cheese. And so Hannah Natanson did an article on the 29th describing the horrors about teaching teaching about the presidential election in West Virginia's deep red McDowell County. And it's an unbelievable, it's such an ignorant piece. They said that never before, talking of the teacher that they were profiling, never before, Cruey said, has he seen such a high-level emotion from kids, blind devotion to their preferred candidate, most often Trump, nor has he seen anything like this level of mistrust. You know, like the people who made up the school kid song about Barack Obama, but whatever. And the way that they were basically acting like, oh my gosh, these redneck babies, can you believe these redneck babies ain't learning? That was kind of like, if I could boil her piece down to a sentence, it would be that.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
As if there's not enough things to look out about in 2020, now we got to watch out for fake coronavirus testing sites. This is according to the FTC. Scammers are dressing up like medical professionals and conducting fake unsanitary tests for money and identity theft, while possibly even spreading the dang virus. Now, they've had reports of these sites emerging from in Alabama, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, New York, Washington State. And they usually, it's like, what, $240 in one instance for a bogus test. And then they try to steal your Social Security, Medicare, all that. So they said that look for these fake testing sites. And like one scammer wore a lanyard with a phony ID for HIPAA, which, and they had a misspelled acronym for like the law that actually, so, you know, look stuff up. Don't just like, oh, here's like a roadside, like you wouldn't eat sushi from a roadside stand. Don't just like randomly go to some like coronavirus testing site. Like, oh, this looks okay. Swab my nose. Here's all my information. Like double check that first, right? New Jersey is weighing a, now here's where you're going to get like the really chilled laid back marijuana people mad. No, New Jersey's weighing a social equity tax on marijuana. Oh, you didn't think that was going to come? Social, yeah, social equity. They're going to sell you pot and then charge you to pay for the what they say are racial disparities caused by drug laws. Yeah, I know it is really stupid. You're right. It is dumb. Mm-hmm. So just FYI, that's so soon. You know, they just literally backed legalization of recreational marijuana use. And now they're immediately like, how can we tax it? Because they don't have enough. Jim Comey is expected to teach at Columbia Law School. Oh, I am made of jokes. I can't even say on air about this. The Instagram influencer is going to be teaching at Columbia Law. He's going to take on a role as one of two leaders in residence through a residence program there. And I can't wait to see. Good night. And you can see the lunar eclipse during the full beaver moon. That's right. The full beaver moon, the lunar eclipse. You can see it. It's like, I don't know. We're out of time. James O'Keefe's coming up next.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trump continuing to undermine election integrity with baseless claims of fraud. Okay, and he's continuing to do it. And that leads to the question of whether or not Trump himself is a national security threat in light of what he's doing and in light of what he did in the debate.
Hey, Jeff, it's David. I just wanted to make one point about contextualizing Ben Ginsburg. He's without a doubt the preeminent election lawyer on the Republican side and probably one of the most preeminent election lawyers in America. He's also had a front row seat to every Republican election initiative for the past 4 years. If he says voter fraud isn't a thing, that's kind of the end of the story. And we ought to treat that as a definitive answer as we cover the story throughout. Our refrain ought to be, Ben Ginsburg was across us for 40 years and says it doesn't exist.
Yeah, those are just some of the, that's an excerpt from some of the tapes, the CNN tapes that were released by Project Veritas. And I'm still trying to get over the original first video where you're hearing Jeff Zucker and all of these CNN reporters speaking on this 9 a.m. conference call. And then all of a sudden, James interrupts and says, hey, Jeff, it's James O'Keefe. How you doing? And like I said, you can actually, I think that's the first time a man actually defecating himself on air. That's the first time that was captured. Joining us right now is James O'Keefe of Project Veritas. And he's just teased earlier today. There are more CNN tapes that are coming. James, this is excellent work again. You're doing like real investigative journalism. It's not shocking, but it is shocking when you hear some of these tapes, like how they were trying to cover up the Hunter Biden story, some of the racial things that they've said as well. Tell me about this and 2 months of tapes.
Yeah, Dana, this is the, I think the defecation thing, I've heard that a few times when I called in there and I said, hi, it's James. How are you? It was, you could hear, you could just hear the emotion. He was like, oh, well, I think we have to change the system. He didn't even hang up the phone. He just kept talking as if he was being recorded by me live streaming this. We had some racial comments here by CNN Vice President David Chalian saying that Cubans are attracted to bullies just because of their ethnicity. It's funny, that's ironic because they come from a country that actually had a bully as a dictator. You had comments about how it's obvious that we're not going to cover anything related to Hunter Biden. So the CEO of CNN saying, obviously we wouldn't cover that. I don't know what's obvious about. What is it, a political obviousness? I don't understand that. And we've decided that we're going to basically release, you know, like an advent calendar. It's December 2nd, December 3rd. Every day we're going to release a tape until Christmas. So, you know, for your audience, it's Christmas season. So we're going to give you a raw phone call of Jeff Zucker talking to his colleagues each day, every day, starting this Friday all the way to December 25th. And we've recorded over 50 of these conversations. Every morning at 9 a.m., the president of CNN talks to his staff about, tells them what to cover, tells them what not to cover. And it doesn't shock you because it more confirms your suspicion, but yet it's still shocking when you can hear it with your own ears.
Yeah, and that's a great way, by the way, to kick off the Christmas season. And that's a great Christmas gift, too. We're talking with James O'Keefe of Project Veritas. So you mentioned, because you have the CNN head, Jeff Zucker, talking to all these reporters, and it's customary for networks to have these editorial meetings and to get on conference calls and hash out stories. But what isn't customary, at least for the so-called free press, is to discuss from an advocate perspective why they're not going to cover certain stories. And, you know, you mentioned, and we're talking about how it's, while it doesn't really surprise us, what impact do you think that this has on individuals as far as the reality of media being advocates and not really the free press any longer?
I mean, the whole idea here is of journalism is that you're supposed to operate without fear or favor. That's the quote that they say at the New York Times or the Financial Times. Without fear or favor, you're independent. You have some modicum of independence. Now, at Project Veritas, I am the CEO. We have over 50 employees and a couple dozen reporters, but I don't tell them what they can't cover or what they can't find. You know, I don't say don't find that information. And whereas Zucker on the call, as the president of a conglomerate news organization, says that you're a national security threat if you talk about voter fraud. So it runs contrary to the whole notion of journalism. It's like he's in the news suppression business, you know, as opposed to in the discovery business and the enlightenment business. And the whole idea of a country, a republic, our whole republic was founded on the public's right to know. In order for people to exercise their rights and duties, they have to be informed. In fact, that informed information constitutes the nature of our consent. The consent of the governed, and that consent cannot be manufactured. So the fact that we have, quote, the most trusted name in news, with a president who's more of like an ESPN game show person or something, telling everyone what not to cover, what not to focus on, in that way, it really runs contrary to what they, and what I've learned, Dana, is that this whole idea of projection, it's like what the mentally ill do, they project onto you and I what they do. What they're doing is closer to what they accuse us of doing, right? What they do is selectively edit. What they do is they're very political and they get marching orders from a political party. People like myself, people like you, or people like Sean Hannity, are very much more independent than how they're branded. So there's this whole idea of accusing me of what they're doing. And on these phone calls, you can hear it for yourself. That's why Jeff Zucker is upset at me. That's why he's calling the police, threatening me that I broke the law, because he's just mad and embarrassed. And people lash out when they go through those types of emotions.
Yeah, and that's I don't see how any kind of wiretapping law would provide any sort of legal basis for their challenge at all whatsoever. These phone calls, we're talking to James O'Keefe, who for 2 months was surreptitiously, and he was given consent because he was given the number to call in, listening to these CNN editorial discussions. At any point, James, did anybody, any of the reporters, any of the producers, anybody else on the call ever challenge Jeff Zucker or any of the other executives at CNN about their direction?
That's the other thing, Dana. Good point. No, they were all yes men. And it was shocking to see nobody push back on Zucker. It was like my people push back on me all the time. I where would I be without my team? I mean, I don't enter a call saying, here's what we need to do. That people come up to me and they say, here's what we're seeing. And I might ask questions about that, but nobody pushes back against Zucker on these calls. People are yes men. They're taking direction. They're taking marching orders. They're focused on narrative. In fact, one of the individuals on the call, one of the executives, talked about 9/11 and how the transition needs to happen quicker so another terrorist attack doesn't happen, which is contrary to what happened in 2000 with Gore. They're talking about 9/11 attacks being precipitated. So, you know, you have a political narrative and a kind of a party line. There's another quote where one of the individuals says that we are told to, we are being told, they are telling us not to focus on anything that Trump is saying or focus on his lack of concession. This is now a month ago, right around the election time. So the they are the political interests, the special interests, the party power brokers that are telling the network vice presidents and presidents of CNN what to do and what not to do. There's a kind of symbiotic relationship between the powers that be and the powers that be at network news. And again, it's very contrary to any type of journalism that I'm aware of, and it's in fact exactly what they accuse me of being, which is a staple of a political party or a political interest. And I want to expose this for who they are, and of course the psychological aspect here of how terrifying it is to them that we have recorded all these calls. And I think that they're more embarrassed at being caught than practicing any introspection about being better.
Yeah. Well, I like how you also James puts the warnings up on his Twitter account, too. You mentioned earlier, and I didn't want to let this go, how it was CNN's official, like their verified PR account, which is also incredibly bizarre, that it's almost kind of run like somebody's personal account, where right after you announced these tapes and you published the first tape of this, they said, oh, well, we've contacted law enforcement, as though there was something that they could do about that, because that's not, I mean, I was looking at New York wiretapping laws, and it's a conference call, and they really don't have anything to do. But what gets me is, James, did they or did they not? They were the ones who released the Melania tapes, correct? They were the ones who had the FLOTUS tapes.
That's a great point, Dana. They do surreptitious recording. They have sources that surreptitiously tape. They released the audio tape of Melania. There's that guy in California who is I can't remember his name, but the guy who ran the Clippers basketball team who surreptitiously was recorded in California, which is a two-party state to record. This is not about journalism ethics. We didn't break any laws, or, you know, we'll happily litigate that if we absolutely need to, and we have not lost one lawsuit. By the way, Dana, you know who has lost lawsuits? CNN.
Yeah.
With the Covington kids, you know, incident, you know, they settled defamation lawsuit. I've never settled a defamation lawsuit in my life, nor has Project Veritas. So these legal experts at CNN saying that we may have broken the law, our legal experts, you know, tell me that they're full of crap, and we have a better track record. So it's not about journalism ethics, Dana. It's simply about projection and more of the same. But I do believe, and I'm going to make this pitch to you like I always do, that this is changing things. That the these insiders inside these companies, these brave people, are sending to Veritas tips at protonmail.com, which is how we found out about this. We got a tip. We got a person who is someone who's disgusted, and they're not betraying their organization. They're actually trying to be loyal to what their organization is supposed to stand for. And we have to remember why these institutions exist. We are nothing without being informed. Our government derives its powers from an informed citizenry. And if CNN is working with Google and Facebook, if Facebook and Google are working with USA Today and the New York Times, and they are colluding together, then these organizations are even more, unfortunately, more powerful than even you and I would like to admit. They have that power. And that's why it's just as important to blow the whistle on CNN as it is to blow the whistle on the FBI or the State Department or, you know, your school board. In many ways, these organs are the most powerful interests in the world, even more powerful than all three branches of government, which is why this brave person who worked with us, did the right thing. And I hope many of you who are watching inside of your own organizations that see this sort of malfeasance, reach out to us at veritastips@protonmail.com.
There you go. James O'Keefe, you made a great point just then as well about these individuals, they're prioritizing their practice and the principle of free press over the personality of a network. And it's going to be very interesting next several years, as I think cable news shifts and people start going and looking to organizations like yours for the truth and investigative reporting. Project Veritas, James O'Keefe. James, as always, carrying the torch. Appreciate what you do. God bless you, my friend.
Well, thank you, Dana. Talk to you very soon.
Take care. That is James O'Keefe. We'll make sure we have that up on YouTube as well. And he's teasing out the videos and dropping them on social media. And but that's amazing. Not a single person challenged Zucker on that. Not a single person. Nobody said, you know, that kind of seems like it's not news.
He's got him trained well.
That the biggest threat to the free press isn't the citizenry. It's the advocates who join the press corps or join the free press and turn it into an advocacy. That's the biggest threat to it.
We're not going to force you to wear a mask, but if you do head out, take the Dana Show with you by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Representative Camilleri is asking is perhaps why is it that more people, and I know we have a couple here today, but why is it that we're not having more people come forward? I mean, it seems like if there was widespread fraud that, you know, we'd have dozens and dozens of people.
I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. My life has been destroyed. My life has been completely destroyed because of this. I've lost family. I've lost friends. I've been threatened. My kids have been threatened. I've had to move. I've had to change my phone number. I've had to get rid of social media. Nobody wants to come forward. They're getting threatened. Their lives are getting ruined. I can't even get an actual job anymore. I can't. Because Democrats like to ruin your lives. That's why.
All right.
Good for her. Boy, they're trying to make fun of her. That was the blonde woman who was testifying there. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash.
So much so that Kate McKinnon was trending.
Because yeah.
Because they wanted her from SNL to play that character. And of course, further make fun of her.
But unity. But unity, though. What about all that unity, though? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I don't think so. No. It's really difficult to demand that when you're doing all this other stuff, right? I just, no. So, a few other things. I feel like, because we're running out of time, but tomorrow, one of the things I want to talk about is the absolute financial illiteracy in this country. So, you know the guy who's from Empire Records, and I think he ended up being in something else. He was like, I don't remember which one. He had like the longer hair in Empire Records, and he was in something else, and I don't remember. But anyway, he was like this like teen actor back when I was a teenager. I think he's like around my age. He does not understand how taxes or the economy works. And yeah, AOC, who, by the way, is railing on capitalism while selling merchandise that is railing on capitalism. Literally, it has like shirts and stuff where they're railing on capitalism by engaging in it.
Wow.
You can't make this kind of stuff up. I mean, it's bartender logic. Actually, that's me, because there are some amazing bartenders out there. Mixologist. Is there a difference between a bartender and a mixologist? Yeah. I think there is. Yes. Because like mixologist, it's like you're a potions master kind of, right? I really honestly, it just does seem like, I know there's some drinks where they have fog and I'm just going to go ahead and assume you're doing a potion. Some of it's very creative. All I know is I like them big ice cubes y'all got. I'm just saying. So I appreciate you. Just not her. All right. So Today in Stupidity came.
All right, Joe Biden, we have to make this cut, the Today in Stupidity cut of the day. I guess we just play it and hear it.
You know, I hear all this about, well, it's a great sacrifice of my freedom.
It is.
Well, tell that to all the people who went to World War One and gave their lives, and World War Two, and Korean War.
Somehow fighting for freedom is the same thing as being against a government that wants to take away your freedom.
That still doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
How much, what's the size of the crack rock you got to hit in order to understand that? Let's ask Hunter.
That's a Hunter size.
That's a Hunter question.
Hunter size rock.
That's a Hunter question right there. Folks, that does it for us today. We've made it through the week. Tomorrow, don't miss, we will bring back some mailbag of hate. God bless. Subscribe to the newsletter, DanaLash.com.
It's the Dana Show.